Now for the preaching of God's Word, I invite you to take hold of your copy of God's Word and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13, if you would please. If you've not brought your Bible with you, that's all right. Reach right in front of you. Get one of those black pew Bibles and turn with us to page number 1306, and you'll find yourself at our text for the day. That is Romans chapter 13. Four verses for our reading, verses 11 through 14. And as I've said before, you're going to get more out of this message if you keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side. You're going to get 40, 50, 60% more out of the message today as you see it unfolding from God's holy inspired Word. Romans chapter 13. Beginning in verse 11, you've seen in your bulletin today that I'm preaching on this subject, a lifestyle for the last days. You know, the events of this past week and the weeks leading up to it certainly make it clear to us that our world is falling apart. It's amazing now to just turn on the TV and not be surprised about some catastrophic disaster happening either here in our United States or somewhere across the world. And it leaves me with the firm impression that we are living in days that are pregnant with the possibility of Christ's return. Someone said, are we living in the last days? No one knows for sure. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 36. He said, about that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus adds to that that even He Himself, as the Son of God, does not know in the Gospel of Mark. God the Father is the only one that knows, but when I take an appraisal of what's going on in our world and in our nation, I believe God might be getting Gabriel to get his trumpet out of his case. Say, Gabriel, it's time to start warming up. Because that midnight call could come at any time. It'll come without warning. It'll come without delay. And we must make sure that we are living in such a way that we are ready for Christ's return. I don't know who was responsible for naming these last three generations after the last three letters of the alphabet. Marketers, sociologists, I'm not real sure, who decided that these last three generations should be named X, Y, and Z. Of course, before them were the baby boomers. That's my generation, born in 1946 to 1964. But then someone got the bright idea that we needed to start using the last three letters of the alphabet. So, beginning with those who were born in 1965 to the year 1980, they were called Generation X, or as some have more popularly called them, the Buster Generation. Then the next generation that followed, born in 1981 to the year 2000, commonly referred to as the Millennials, but alphabetically, since the previous generation was Generation X, they were called Generation Y. Now we are told that those children born between the year 2000 to the present are Generation Z. Leading Fortune magazine in a 2015 article to ask this question, Generation Z, what comes next? A good question. What comes after Generation Z? Well, ISIS thinks it knows. They believe that the end is near, inspiring many young militants to join their jihad in order to hasten the day of their version of Armageddon. They think the end is right around the corner. Well, as I've said before this morning, no one knows for sure. But Paul wanted us to be prepared for that day when it comes. That's why he wrote Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. Would you read silently as I read aloud? He said, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, verse 11, "And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." What is Paul talking about there? He's talking about Christ's return. When he speaks of this type of salvation, it's not talking about the personal salvation that someone receives when they trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He's talking about the ultimate salvation. When God comes again and rights all the wrongs of this world. He says it's nearer now than when we first believed. We are closer to Christ's return now than we were yesterday. We must be prepared. Verse 12, he continues. "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Now, as I was meditating on this passage of Scripture, it became clear to me that Paul was using the imagery that correlates to the beginning of any person's day, beginning with waking up. That is his clarion call here in verse 11. In these days that are so full of the promise of Christ's return, we must wake up. And then he moves from that thought to say, well, once a person wakes up in the morning, the next thing that they need to do is to choose their wardrobe, beginning with the fact that they need to put off their night clothes, their pajamas, their robe, their shorts, their t-shirt, whatever it might be, to take those things off and go to the closet and choose what you're going to wear that day. And then once you've done that, it's time to walk out the door and begin the daily process of your walk throughout that day. Paul is saying, this is the formula that we must follow to prepare ourselves for Christ's return. First, note with me our wakening in verse 11. It says again, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." There are many of us in this church house that are sound asleep, spiritually speaking. And I want to issue a clarion call, one that came to me as I was soundly asleep this morning at 5:30 a.m. and my alarm clock went off. It was irritating, of course, to have it wake me up from such a sound and peaceful sleep. And many of us are in that deep state of lethargy when it comes to spiritual terms. And I might be the irritant today. I might be that alarm clock that says, wake up, get up. Jesus coming is closer today than when you first believed. We hear the story of Jesus as he told the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. He was talking about his own return. He was speaking about that day prophetically by telling this story of 10 virgins. He said there are 10 virgins. Five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. And the news came that the bridegroom was going to appear. A clear reference to our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming for his bride, the church. And they were advised, these 10 virgins, to be prepared because you don't know the hour. He will come like a thief in the night. He's not going to send an engraved invitation. He's not going to send a postcard in the mail that says save the date so you can put it up on your refrigerator. He will come without a moment's notice. And so having received this warning, five of the virgins were wise. They took their lamps and filled them with oil, saying it could be any moment in a 24-hour day. But the other five virgins were foolish. They had their lamps, but they didn't make preparations by filling them with oil. Jesus continues to tell the story, and he said, at midnight, when everyone was sound asleep, a cry came. A midnight cry that the bridegroom was coming. The five wise virgins woke and they were ready for their bridegroom to receive them. But the five foolish virgins were unprepared. And hauntingly, Jesus tells them the story that the door was shut on them. Too late. Should have been ready. Should have been prepared. Should have been awake. Oh, my dear friend, it's time to wake up. It's time to stop languishing on our laurels and get the spark of the Holy Spirit in us and to fill us. Not only with His power in His presence, but with His Word, so that we will be ready, so that we will be able to recognize the times. The signs are all around us. But so many of us are sound asleep. The world is just going to rock along and roll on like it has for millennia. Then there's a story that is told in the Old Testament about Jonah and the great fish. Of course, Jonah was a reluctant prophet. God had called him to a particular mission in Nineveh, which is modern-day Iraq. And Jonah didn't want to go. He tried to flee from the presence of God. And the Bible says that he got on a ship. And he went down into the lowest parts of that ship and he fell asleep. Now this ship was filled with pagans. It was filled with infidels who did not know the God of the Bible. Jonah was the only believer on board. And what was he doing? He was sound asleep in the bottom of the ship. And then the storm came. It tossed the boat to and fro. And the lost sailors on board panicked. They started throwing things overboard. And finally they realized, hey, there is a believer down here in the bottom of the ship. He's sound asleep. And so they went down there and they shook him awake and said, get up. Call on your God. My friend, that's what this lost world is saying to us today. It is a sad day when the lost world has to wake us believers up and say, get up, pray to your God. But we're sound asleep. We're like Peter, James, and John. In Jesus' most critical hour of need, he took his inner circle, his closest three companions, Peter, James, and John, with him to the Garden of Gethsemane and gave them simple instructions. Stay here a while with me and pray. But they fell sound asleep, like many of you are today. Jesus came to them and said, what? You couldn't stay up with me 1 hour to pray? And in that moment, the enemies of God came, arrested him, and took him to the cross of Calvary. First Baptist Church of Noonan, you look pretty comfortable to me. But it's time to wake up out of your sleep. If you are too dull to see what's going on around you in this world today, then hear your pastor this morning. Things are lining up for our Lord Jesus to return. And you'll either be ready or you will not. So there is the wakening. What do you do after you wake up in the morning? Well, you address your wardrobe. And that's what Paul does here, beginning in verse 12. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Two things I need to do when I wake up. I need to get rid of those old bedclothes, lay them aside, and put on the new dress that will get me through the day. Paul, the same human author of this passage in Romans, put it almost the same way in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 when he said, put off the old man with his deeds. You see, when you got saved, you got a new nature. The Spirit of God started living inside of you. But you still have your flesh, your carnality. And the instruction that Paul gives is to not let that downward nature win over the new man, the new creation, the Spirit of God that is in you. Put that off. He goes on to say even more about it there in Colossians chapter 3. He says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. This is what Paul is saying. In these last days, we need to wake up. We need to stir ourselves to action by, first of all, taking off those secret sins in our lives, those downward tendencies which do not have a place in a believer's life, and cast them aside. And then, having done that, put on tenderness, forgiveness, mercy, Get rid of that old grumbling and complaining and backbiting. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the way Paul put it here in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. He said, put on the armor of light. Reminds me of another passage that Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that's Ephesians chapter 6, where he used that word armor and that expression put on. Ephesians 6 verse 11, he said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Friend, you're going to get knocked flat on your back in these days that are so full of the possibilities of Christ's return. If you don't get up and get rid of those bedclothes and put on the full armor of God, he says again in verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Well, friend, it's time to wake up. It's time to get rid of those old sleepy clothes and put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Take up the shield of faith. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Have your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Because, my friend, if you don't have that armament, you're going to get knocked flat on your back. Some of you can't put it on because you still got the old stuff on. Some of you have been searching the newspapers for advertisements about sales for new clothes since the school year is just right around the corner. And you're going to be buying new clothes for your children and probably for yourself too. And then you're going to do an inventory in your closet and you're going to look at those old clothes, the ones that are worn out, the ones that are faded, the ones that have holes in them, and you're going to take them away and replace them with the new clothes. Well, friend, it's time. It's high time that we Christians do a closet cleaning, spiritually speaking, so that we will be ready for the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me again here as we move from the subject of the awakening and our wardrobe to now our walk, beginning in verse 13 of Romans chapter 13. It says, let us, there's that word, walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. I have woken up. I have addressed my wardrobe. Now I'm walking out the door. And as I've said to you so many times before, when we see this word walk in the New Testament, it implies progress, putting one foot in front of another. The sad thing is, many of us who identify by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ are not walking. When you're making progress, it means that you're closer to God today than you were yesterday. When you're making progress with God, it means you're closer to God today than you were a year ago. When you're walking with God, it means you're further along with Him than you were 5 years ago and 10 years ago. But the sad thing is, most of us are not progressing in our walk. We are regressing in our walk. Like the man that's described in Psalm 1 in verse 1. He walks good, but it's not good who he walks with. He walks in the counsel of the ungodly, but the next time we see him in Psalm 1:1, he has stopped walking and he started standing. Something's gotten his attention. He's standing in the path of sinners. But then he's no longer even standing. He is sitting in the seat of the scornful. Taking a look at First Baptist Church. I got a problem with him. I don't like her. She's got a stinking rotten attitude. I don't like this. I don't like that. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. And my friend, you are not ready for Christ's return. The year was 386 AD. There was a young North African native who was sitting in his friend's courtyard, contemplating the wickedness of his life. He was a known drunk, slept with a different girl every night, just wicked. And he sat there with tears coming down his cheeks, contemplating the wickedness of his life. When he heard children playing outside the courtyard, singing a song in Latin, which is translated in the English, take up and read, take up and read. Well, beside him was an open scroll of the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 13. So he picked up that scroll and turned like you have today to Romans 13 and verse 13. And he read, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. He set aside the scroll, and as he later wrote in his own hand, and I quote, no further would I read, nor did I need to, for instantly as the sentence ended, a light infused my heart. All the gloom of doubt vanished away. And in that moment, he trusted Jesus as his Lord and as his Savior. Who was this young man who had lived such a wicked life? Aurelius Augustine, or more popularly known as Saint Augustine, one of the greatest theologians of the church and one of the greatest men of God in our Christian history. You know, you could be like him today, not walking with the Lord, having those old dreary clothes of sin on, sound asleep, but all of a sudden, you've woken up. You might be someone in Generation Z, born after the year 2000, who's heard the Word of God and been transformed and led to Christ by this gospel passage. You might be someone in Generation X, someone in Generation Y, a millennial, or you might even be a buster or a boomer or a silent generation. God is speaking to you. He uses His Word to speak to us so that you can be transformed and impact this world in these days that are so full of the possibility of Christ's return. Would you bow your heads with me? Is God speaking to you today? You know, we end every service with a time of commitment, a time when we can respond to what God is saying to us from His Word. And maybe you're like Augustine, and God's speaking to you about your need of a Savior. I invite you to come. I'll be waiting for you right down here at the front. As soon as your legs straighten up on the very first note, you come. Maybe there's a lot of people here who have already trusted Christ, but you've not been living the way you ought to live. And it's time to renew your commitment to Him today. It's time to stop playing games. Because the time is at hand. The day is here. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you just need to come to this altar. This altar is always open. And on bended knee, pray for our world. Pray for our nation. Maybe God's speaking to you about joining the life of this church. You don't want to be floating out there in some no man's land. When Christ returns, we need you on our team to help us get the word out. So, Father, in this moment, during this, your invitation, we pray that people might hear and respond by faith. And as they do, we'll give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.